Okay, Isaiah 58, verse 6. We're going to read verses 6 through 9. Okay, here we go. You ready? Okay, this is out of the New King James. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? This is God talking right here. Is this not the fast that I have chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry, and that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? And when you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. And look at verse 9. Come on, somebody. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here am I. Father, thank you, Lord, and I ask you to bless this word and this message to us here this morning. Father, I'm asking you, Father God, in the time you've allowed me to have, to deliver this word as clearly, as eloquently, as best as I can. And Father, just help me to just flow with you. I know I have notes, but don't let me be bound to my notes. Father, you take over, God. You say what needs to be said right here, right now, to all my brothers and sisters, to your people, to your children. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen, amen and amen and amen again. Well, the title of this message is A Fast Message from God. A fast message from God. Now, let me just make a disclaimer. I'm not talking about as far as time-wise. Fast. That means we're going to be out here in 10 minutes. No. A fast message. I'm talking about the discipline of God. The fasting as a discipline for the Christian. Now, if you're not saved yet or you've been a Christian for a little bit, it's important to know that fasting is very, very, very important as a believer. You see, God moves by fasting. And here we see God speaking through the prophet Isaiah to people who are fasting incorrectly. There was a group of leaders or people here that were fasting incorrectly, and God was so disgusted with the way they were fasting. And the people thought that God was honoring their fast, but God was saying, I don't honor the way you fast for me. There's a right way to fast and a wrong way to fast. Here, we're going to begin the fasting in our church for this year. Why don't we start with the fast God has chosen? That we learn the right way of fasting. Is that okay here? Can I do that for a few moments? Alrighty then. So, the definition of fasting, listen to this. The definition of fasting is simply a voluntary withdrawing from food or drink or other fleshly appetites for a specific period of time. See, there are three basic types of fasting mentioned in the Bible. There's the normal fast, and this is, of course, from food. This is the one where Jesus began his earthly ministry with prayer and fasting. He went 40 days without food or water. Now, I don't suggest you do that unless God tells you so. That type of a fast is known as a supernatural fast, where God himself instructs you, I want you to go 40 days without food and water. Listen, if you do that on your own, you'll die. Because we can't go without water for at least 6 or 7 days and the body dies. But you see, there are only a few men. And you know what? You know who else did that? My original spiritual father, Pastor David Martinez. He was the only other man I know that went on a 40-day fast, a supernatural fast, and God kept him. I seen it, my friend. The whole church seen it. But you see, that's why God moved so powerfully within his life and in the ministry back in those days. And still today, the reason that church is still there today, even though he's up there in heaven with God in the glory of God, is because of all the years of fasting that him and his wife have did for the church and for the city of the San Fernando Valley. See, even after he may not be here, but guess what? God is still honoring the fast. See, when you fast, it's not just going to be for that one moment. Some fast, some answers to the fasting will continue on, maybe for you, even for generations, because you ask God to do something. Can somebody say amen? So the normal fast is, you know, without food. But when Jesus began his ministry, his was without food and water. And Jesus taught his disciples how to fast. See, Jesus also got his disciples and he trained them. Listen, you guys got to learn how to fast. See, but listen to this and listen very carefully. Though fasting is never commanded, because it's really in the Bible, you don't see Jesus commanding fasting. See, because Jesus assumed that the disciples would want to in order to see great things happen. See, God has given us choice. He doesn't force you to be saved. He doesn't force you to get born again. But he hopes in his heart that you would come to him of your own free will. It's the same thing with fasting. It's not a command. But he's hoping and assuming that you would want to fast in order to see great things happen in your life, in your church, in your family, in your marriage, and in our world. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Woo, come on, somebody. So the normal fast is no food, only liquids like water and juice. That's another type of fast. Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he got saved, right, on the road to Damascus, he did a 3-day fast right after getting saved. And then we have the partial fast. This is the fast that Pastor Ed was sharing with us. This is where you include the Daniel fast. It's good for those that have diabetes, hypoglycemia, or some other condition that prevents them from doing normal fast. That's why some Christians, they won't fast. As soon as they hear the word fasting in the church, they turn off. They turn off because I can't do that. I got a condition. But I got good news for you. I'm diabetic. And I thank God that even though I may not be able to do the absolute fast or the total fast, I can do a partial fast. Come on, somebody. You can do a partial fast. And doesn't necessarily mean you have to fast some meals entirely. When a partial fast, also you can do the Daniel fast, but also you can fast from certain things that you really like. When I do a partial fast as a person with diabetes, and if you have a hypoglycemia condition, you can fast from meat. You can do a meat fast. Come on, somebody. And you know why God honors that? Because he knows how we love our meat. Woo, come on. He knows how we love that pork roast and pork chops. He knows how we love the carne asada. Come on. He knows how we love them double quarter pounders with cheese. Can somebody help me in here? Ah. I like those. So let me tell you, when I want to fast and get down with God, I'll stay away from the meat. Me and my wife will do a meat fast. See? And we know God answers and moves because people have conditions. See, back in the Bible days, a lot of people didn't have conditions we have today because people ate differently. They actually were more vegan type people back in the day. You know? So they didn't really have to deal with conditions that we do today, such as hypoglycemia and diabetes. They were practically non-existent back in those times. But you see, God, thank God that he knows how to move with the times. And also, another thing that we can fast from in the partial fast is you can also fast from things that you like, fleshly appetites. Now, don't go there wicked in your mind. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you can fast from Facebook. You can fast from TV. Come on, somebody. Uh-huh. See, a fast, a defined fast is anything you set aside to seek God. So with that technical definition, you and I know we love our Facebook. We're on there every day commenting, friending or something. Or well, come on, hallelujah. We're on there. But when you set aside Facebook, not for just one day, but 3 days or even a week, oh, my gosh, you'll feel it. You will feel it. But that's the whole idea of a fast. That's a sacrifice. A sacrifice is meant to hurt. A sacrifice is meant to be felt. Come on, somebody. When Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross with the nails through his body, do you think it felt pretty? No, it was painful. See, sometimes a sacrifice has to be really painful. It has to cut you, man. It has to do something in you. We must go through some changes. That's a real fast and a real sacrifice. So stay away from Facebook. Hello? Stay away from TV. You know, there was one person, and this is very true. I learned this a long time ago in school of ministry. You can also fast from sleep. What? Yeah, you can. There's this one king, I believe it was the king when Daniel, when he had to give the order for Daniel to go into the lions, and he didn't want him. He liked Daniel. The Bible says that the king kept himself from sleep for that whole night. That was his way of fasting or separating himself for a dire need, and that need was he wanted Daniel protected. You can fast from sleep. You can try. Amen. Even if you fast 4 or 5 hours, if you do it intentionally with your heart. And see, when you fast from sleep, you're not just sitting there watching TV. No, see, the whole thing about a fast is when you deny yourself food, Facebook, TV, or sleep, then what do you do with that time? You spend it in prayer. You spend it in prayer. The time you could have been watching TV, you're praying. The time you could be eating and making food or cleaning up the kitchen, that time you could be spending seeking and praying to God. Can somebody say amen? That time you could be looking at your phone and Facebook, you're looking at your Bible. Come on, somebody. You're not in Facebook, but you are face, comma, book. His book. Oh, come on. Oh, you want to go there? You want to go there? Okay, come on. You're going to go there? We're going to go there. Facebook. Facebook. This is the Facebook that God wants you to do when you fast. Stay away from that Facebook and go to God's Facebook. Come on, give him praise, somebody. Give him praise, man. And you know what's good about that is hearing this, that should excite us even more than I can fast. I can do it. Because we're so used to that, just food, food, food. But you see, remember the Bible was written back in the day when they didn't have Facebook. They didn't have computers. They didn't have TVs. They didn't have a lot of the luxuries which are, you know, appetites for the flesh today. See, God knows how to adjust with the time. See, listen, biblical principles never change, but methods do. We're still keeping the principle of fasting. We're just changing the method. See, so that should encourage you. Yes, you can do a Daniel fast. You can do a whole fast if you can. If you're healthy enough, you can do a total fast, a partial fast if you can't. You can do any one of these types of different fasts. But the whole point is let's do a fast for God. Let's separate ourselves. Let's focus on seeking God for this new year. It's a new year. Can somebody say amen? Amen. And we need to. We need God to go before us this year. You know, that's why many pastors, and I learned that in the San Fernando Valley Church, man, that every beginning of the year, Pastor David and Faith would set the church. We go fast for 40 days. Not like without food or drinks, but the actual doing of the fast. People would do different fasts, but it would be a 40-day fast. People doing different fasts on different days. Don't let me scare you now. We didn't all go the solid 40, but we each took a day. But it was all 40 with people doing it in different days. But see, I grew up in that culture. When I seen that, I see what God would do throughout the year. We'd have dynamic crusades. Whenever there was a need in the church, God would provide. Why? Because we sought God. We put God first in the beginning of the year. Hello, somebody. We're putting God first. I said, we're putting God first. And we're denying our flesh, denying how we would like to start the year. We're saying, Lord, we're going to dedicate this time to you because we need you in this new year. We need you to go before us. We need you to do supernatural signs and wonders. We need you to move in the miraculous. Come on, somebody. We need you to give us a breakthrough. We need your divine favor, my God. Lord, we want this year to be more dynamic than last year. Father, we want to do things this year that we couldn't do last year. But last year is not this year. So, God, this year, let us do greater and more mightier things for the kingdom. Let us reach the city of San Francisco. See, that's what the fast is going to do. But let me get into the word right here real quick. Like, that's just the intro, Shando. So those are kind of the different types of biblical fast and how now they can be, with respect, tweaked. We can tweak them for the glory of God. Because we live in a different time, but the principle remains the same. Amen? Amen? Especially for those of us with health conditions. You can get in on this. Hallelujah. All right. Amen. Okay, so the Bible, look what the Bible says back in Isaiah. I love how he breaks it down. See, these right here, these verses are the very reasons why we fast. This is God's chosen fast. Is this not the fast I have chosen? Look. Let me tell you the fast that I'm talking about. See, God's main purpose is for us fasting is to loose the bands. Fasting to get freedom from addictions. Fasting to get freedom from addictions. Things you'd like to lay down, put away, stop doing, but you have not been able to. You tried to quit smoking, but you can't. You tried to quit drinking, but you can't. You tried to quit cursing, but you can't. You tried to quit doing certain things that you know are wrong, are an offense, are sin, but you can't. This is why you got to take it to the next level. This is why you got to fast and pray. Can somebody say amen? Because you have got some holds and addictions, some bands, some bonds that you cannot loose. Religion cannot loose them, my friend. The psychiatrist cannot loose them. Hypnotherapy cannot loose them. The only one that can loosen those bonds and bondages is the power of God when you set your heart to fast and to pray. Jesus himself says this kind does not come out but by fasting and praying. You know somebody in your family that's got an issue, that's got an addiction? We need to fast. Stop talking about them behind their back and start talking to God about them. You know, we got children and kids, man, that got these things going on in their lives. And a lot of times, you know, we talk about them, but let's do more than just talk about them. Let's talk to God about them and let's fast for them. Let us separate and set aside that time, that fleshly appetite, in order to see these addictions be broken in the name of Jesus. Can somebody say amen? Amen. See, God has ordained, and when we get serious about walking in victory, we demonstrate it through fasting to solve the problems. Fasting is one of the best ways to solve problems. Did you know that? Fasting is the key that makes the impossible possible. Also, secondly, to undo heavy burdens. Is this not the kind of fast I've chosen? To undo heavy burdens? When it seems hopeless, there's no way out? See, many of us have burdens. You know, it's a new year, and already many of you probably have burdens upon you. Maybe right now you got a financial burden. There's a burden upon your heart with somebody in your family. There's some type of heaviness upon you. You're feeling it. You see, my friend, this is where we need to fast in order to bring hope where there's hopelessness, to bring a way out when there doesn't seem like a way out. See, God will deal with in an instant what you're stressing for weeks and months about. Well, let me say that again. You didn't hear that. I said, God will deal with in an instant what you stressed for weeks and months. See, everything you've been stressing about for weeks or for months, my friend, and nothing's happening. It's the same. There's no change. And you're stressing and stressing and stressing. You see, when you set your heart to fast from one of these fasts unto God, then what's been stressing you for a long time, God is able to change it in an instant. Ooh, come on, somebody. Also, is this not the kind of fast I have chosen to break every yoke? I've never seen so many people stress out and under such emotional strain as lately, especially with the government, partial government shutdown. There's a lot of people that are stressing because they cannot make their mortgages or car payments. Even in our churches, some of our churches are being affected because some of the people work for the government. They work in government offices in their city. And they haven't, you know, received a paycheck in almost a month now. And now they're stressing. They're really stressing. But this is truly a test. Because, okay, we're kind of used to the government taking care of us, but now we got to really look up to God to take care of us. But these are some of the benefits that we can fast about. To break every yoke. To let the oppressed go free. Come on, somebody. To let the oppressed go free. See, we can fast for those under oppression. And there are some Christians that are struggling with oppression. Oh, you're not possessed. A Christian cannot be possessed. A real born-again Christian with the Holy Spirit living inside you, listen, you got the Holy Ghost living inside you. No demon can live inside with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. Imagine a demon trying to live with the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost says, get out of here. Live in here. I dwell here. Get out. Go away. Rebuke you. That's why no Christian can be demon possessed. There's some people that believe that. No. That's impossible. The Holy, that's right, not in this house, man. The Holy Ghost is up in here. Ain't no demon can live in the same place where the Holy Ghost lives. But you can be oppressed. Oppressed, man, where your mind, you feel foggy. You feel always in darkness. You can't think right. As a matter of fact, you're getting bombarded with negative thoughts and negative thinking. You feel like you're so less. You're not worth anything. You can't do nothing right. You feel like everybody is against you. Nobody likes you. I mean, you're being toyed with and messed with in your mind. And you're forgetting, man, that there's a God that does love you. There's a God that cares about you. There's a God that loves you with a multidimensional love, with a high love, a low love, a love that goes from the east to the west. Come on. It's a multidimensional love, and we're forgetting it's an unconditional love. Listen, you may make a mistake. You may backslide. You may do wrong things, my friend, but God don't stop loving you. His love is unconditional. He says, I love you so much, I refuse to leave you in that condition. So get yourself back up. Come on. Get back under the blood. I ain't finished with you, because I who began a good work in you, I want to finish it. I want to complete it until the day you come before me in heaven. So come on, get up. Yeah, get up. This is why, you know, break every yoke, let your oppressed go free. Fasting to meet mental needs. You know, there are people that are so oppressed with issues and depression and discouragement, things in the mind. Like that lady preacher, I can't remember her name right now. You know her name. She wrote the book, The Battlefield of the Mind, Joyce Meyer. Battlefield, the mind is a battlefield. It's yeah. The devil's right there in our ear. And we're like this. That's right. Oh, yeah. You're right, devil. You're right. Come on, get him out of there. Get him out of your ear. Start listening to the still small voice of the Holy Spirit that says, you're loved. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You are more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus who loves you. Come on, somebody. Oh, you are the head and not the tail. You are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people called out of darkness to declare the wonderful light of Christ. Come on, don't you know who you are? You are a child of the Most High King. You got authority. Come on, you got kingdom authority. Start walking in that authority. Come on, hallelujah. This is why we got to fast for the oppressed to be free. Fast to break every yoke. People that are so stressed out right now with all this shutdown and everything. Also, fasting to meet the physical needs of others. I want to look at Isaiah 58. I want to show you something. In verse 7, it says, is it not to share your bread with the hungry? And that you bring your house to your house, the poor who are cast out. And when you see the naked, that you cover him and not hide yourself from your own flesh. And I kind of was wondering, what's he really talking about there? And one of the things I see is this verse has a double meaning. In some scriptures, when you read them, they have a double meaning. Amen. They mean something to them, but there's also something else that means to now. Principle for now. I got a revelation, and the Lord showed me this. He says, I also mean that when you bring to the house of God those who are poor and cast out, it's bringing to God's house those who are lost. I said, bringing to my house those who are lost. And see, that's where fasting comes in, because if we want to bring in more of the lost out there, we need to fast for them right here. We need to fast for them to know that they need Jesus. They need salvation. To get rid of that pride, to get off their high horse, to get rid of that stubbornness, to get loose from the lies of the enemy, my friend, that the reason it'll come to salvation is because they're listening to the lies of the prince of the power of this world system, and they're being deceived. They say, I don't need salvation. I'm doing okay. I don't want nobody to be the boss of me. But if we fast and pray for those souls that are poor in spirit, they will be coming to God the Father's house, and they will be clothed with salvation. See, right now they're naked. I said, they're naked. Oh, yeah, they're without Christ, without hope in the world. They're naked. Oh, but when they get saved and we bring to the house of God and they accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, the Bible says, now they're clothed with salvation. They're clothed with the garment of righteousness. Fasting is going to help us bring in the souls, but not just bring them in. Power of fasting will help keep them in the house of God. We got to be specific. I say, God, when you bring in the new souls, bring in souls that are going to stay. Oh, come on. Come on. Bring in souls that are going to stay. Bring in souls that are going to fall in love with Jesus. Bring in souls that are not going to have their own agenda, but want your agenda. Bring in souls that are going to be God chasers. Bring in souls that are going to be grateful because of where you brought them from, how much they've been forgiven, God. Because he who's been forgiven much, loveth much. Come on, Lord. Hallelujah. Bring those type of people here. Get them saved, but committed, loyal, submitted. See, we got to ask God. We got to be specific with God. Lord, just give us souls. We may get a mob of people, man, but we need souls that are going to be committed. Going to stay. Going to stick it out. Can somebody say amen? You know, that's Jesus' heart. That's every pastor's heart. It's Jesus' heart. Oh, come on, somebody. We've got to break these yokes in people's lives. Fasting will help break the yoke. And that's no yoke. That took a little bit. Fasting can break the yoke, and that's no yoke. And then to share Jesus' bread. And listen to this. When you see the naked, that you cover them. You know, we cover them with prayer. We cover them with fasting and prayer. We cover them by sharing the bread of life with them. And then when you see the naked, that you cover them and not hide yourself from your own flesh. You know what the Lord showed me? Another interpretation of that is, who's our own flesh? Who is our own flesh? See, at first I thought it was like, you mean like our lusting flesh? No. To not hide yourself from your own flesh. Who are your own flesh? Our children. Pieces of ourselves. They're our own flesh. To not hide yourself from your own flesh. In other words, before our children, that we show them how to live for Jesus. That we show them what a real Christian looks like. That we show them by exampleship, you got to go to church. Come on, somebody. Show them by example, you got to worship the Lord. To show them by example how to live as a Christian. Don't hide from your own flesh. To raise up our flesh in the things of the Lord. Can somebody say amen? To raise them up in the things of God. Do not hide ourselves for our children. Because remember what I said to you a few months ago when I preached in Christmas or Halloween. When I talked about the Satan worshipers and a pastor having a conversation with a Satanist on the way, 300 Satanists on the way to a pastor's convention. Remember that? Yep. And that they're praying for three things. Number one, that pastors and leaders would backslide and fall. Their marriages would fail. That their churches wouldn't grow. And thirdly, that their children would remain lost. So they're praying for our kids to be lost. They're praying for our kids to go and be out there in the world. Even our kids that may have served the Lord at one time, but they're out there in a backslidden condition. That's the result of the enemy's prayer and fasting. But this is where today we're going to turn the tables on the kingdom of darkness. Today we're going to turn the table on the enemy and say, no more devil, no more. We're going to fast. We're going to pray. We're going to cover our own flesh. We're going to believe for our children to come back. Those who are backslidden, they're going to come back to Jesus Christ. Those who are with us right now, that they would serve you and know you as the Lord and Savior and get saved and born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. Come on, somebody. We're believing for our children. Devil, you're not going to have our generation. The now generation, the next generation, no generation, because this is God's generation. See, when you get serious with God and fasting, that's what we got to fast for, is our kids. Can somebody say amen? Push aside that plate for the sake of the kids. Do not hide yourself from your own flesh. And I never saw that before. To this week, as I was preparing, I didn't see it like that. But in our generation, in our time, don't hide ourselves from our own flesh. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Also, fasting for health, reasons, and healing. The Bible says that your healing shall spring forth speedily, that your light shall break forth like the morning, and your healing shall spring forth speedily. Ooh, come on, somebody. See, we fast for clearer insight in decision-making. One of the best times or best things to do in a fasting situation is we're asking God for direction. So we're asking God for wisdom. We're asking God, what do you want us to do? How do you want us to move forward? Will you be with us in this? Show us the way we should go. Show us what we should do. And give us the wisdom to accomplish what you want us to do. When we fast, we give God that opportunity. That's what the Bible means. And then a light will shine on you like the dawn. I said, a light will shine on you. In other words, the focal will go up. Bing! Now you shall know the way you need to go. God will show you. He'll illuminate the path. He'll give you confirmation. Can somebody say amen?
Amen.
He says, and your light shall break forth like the dawn. That's what that means. That God will illuminate the area that is dark, that you can't see, that you don't know which way to go. That's why some of you are here in church this year. You know why? Because, you know, God has seen your heart. He has seen that, man, you need something different. Show me, what should I do, God? I need to make a change. I don't want my life to be the same way this year like it was last year. I don't want that, God. Show me what I should do. Show me the church I should go to, God. Show me the place I belong. Hello. And then the Bible also says that the kind of fast that God has chosen is for health reasons and healing. Does anybody have a loved one that's in bad shape? When we get serious and fast for them, when there's no hope from a human perspective, we need to put them in God's hands. You see, the sick in body and the sick in spirit. It's clear. It's right there. Look it. It says, your healing shall spring forth speedily. When you fast and pray for someone that's in need of a healing, whether it's physical, whether it's emotional, whatever it may be, whatever healing it is, God is able to heal. He is still Jehovah Rapha. I am the God that healeth thee. He can heal you from the hurts of the past. You've been hurt. You've been offended. You've been messed up. But God can heal you. Especially you've gone through stuff last year. Then let me tell you, the best time to fast is to fast in order for God to heal what you've been through. Heal your heart. Heal your mind. Heal your emotions. Can somebody say amen?
Amen?
Your healing shall quickly appear. Hallelujah. See, and also, we need to fast for our healing because it's easy for a Christian to grow cold, isn't it? It's easy for a Christian to grow cold. Come on, somebody. So when we fast, sometimes it's good to say, Lord, I'm fasting in order that you can relight the fire under my feet. Lord, I'm fasting so I don't want to be cold no more. I want to be lit. I want to be on fire again. I need the passion. I need to be relentless again, God. So I'm fasting, my God. And I am not going to stop this fast until you put the fire under my feet. Lord, take me back. Take me back to when I first received you. Remember when you first received God? Take me back. Take me back to the place where I first received you. You had that fire. You had that childlike faith. You were open. You were excited for God. Come on, somebody. You were out there hitting the streets. You were telling everybody and grandma about Jesus Christ. You were on fire. But then years go by and now you're all like, that's why we got to fast. We fast because we need help. And that help comes from the Lord. So, Lord, put the fire back under my feet. Come on, I need my pilot lit, God. Come on, man. My pilot has gone out. And PG&E can't help me. But the Holy Ghost, Spirit of God, is able to relight my pilot. Come on, Jesus, light my fire. We need Jesus to light a fire, man, again. Come on, man, you're feeling cold. It's a new year, and you're, man, it's a new year. I shouldn't be feeling like this. This is the time to fast and pray to say, okay, Lord, light my fire. Come on, relight me, God. Rekindle me, God. Take me back to the place where I first received you. Woo, Shadabasya. And then lastly, it says, the glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. That speaks of God's protection. The word rear guard means a soldier who's protecting from attack from behind. That the Lord will keep you protective from all the attacks that come behind you. You know why behind you? Because listen, if you're wearing the full armor of God, Ephesians 6, the full armor of God, there's the breastplate of righteousness. See, the armor of God covers the front, but there's no covering for the back. I said there's no armor for the back. The armor's in the front. So you can go forth in battle and all the flaming missiles hit your armor and they just bounce right off. Come on, somebody. You got your shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit. Come on, Chamuco. You want to do it? You want a piece of me? Vamanos. Let's go. Let's do this. It is written. Come on now. But when you turn your back on God and run, your back's exposed. Ain't no armor for the back. You know why? Because God intends you and I to go forward. Because even though there's no armor for the back, God says, but I'm going to be your rear guard. I'm the one that's going to watch your back. The Lord is saying, I got your back. I got your back. I'm your rear guard. So when you fast and pray, you will have my protection for this new year. When you fast and pray, whatever plan the enemy has against you for this new year, listen, the enemy also has a plan for this new year. He has a new strategy, a new plan, plans against you and me, plans against our marriages, plans against our family. He even has plans against the movement of this church. But this is why we're fasting. Come on, somebody. This is why we're fasting. So when we go into this new year, my friend, the Lord will have our back. Yes. Said, God will have your back. I'm going to be your rear guard. Woo, Shondo and a bag of chips with some bean dip and a raspberry shot. Come on. And then look what it says. What a perfect way to close this word from the Lord, from Isaiah. Look it. See, the result of fasting, the type of fast God has chosen. A fast of God. A fast message from God. The result of the fast that he has chosen is right here. Then you shall call and the Lord will answer. Hallelujah. How we need God to answer this year. I said, how we need God to answer us this year. You shall call and the Lord will answer. You shall cry. Come on, somebody. When there's going to be those moments that you will be crying before the Lord. Whether you're crying emotionally or crying with genuine tears, but see, when you cry, he's going to say, here I am, daughter. Here I am, son. What do you need me to do? What do you need from me? I've heard your cry. You've fasted. You're separating for me. You're seeking me. You've denied food. You denied Facebook. You denied that TV. You denied that meat. You denied that sweet. You denied your fasting from that cupcake. Come on, somebody. I've heard you. I've seen what you've done. Now, I'm here for you. What do you need me to do, my daughter? What do you need me to do, my son? I am here. Woo, as we all stand to our feet. Listen. See, one of the benefits of fasting is more time to pray. You know, as we fast, let's take more time to pray. Amen. Come on. Listen, that time that you could be reading, eating, watching TV, put prayer in that time. Put prayer in the place of that time right there. Also, fasting makes your heart more attentive to God. Did you know that when you're fasting, you're actually more attentive and in tune to the Holy Spirit? Then also, fasting demonstrates to God our seriousness. Say, listen, Victuary San Francisco, we want to start off the year. Listen, come on, come on. Let me have your attention. God wants us to start off this year by showing him how serious we are with him. How serious we are about his business. Lord, I mean business. I'm serious, God. I don't want this year to be like last year. I'm serious. I don't want my ministry to be like last year. I want it to be different. Lord, I'm serious. I want to go to another level. I'm serious. I don't want to be the same man or the same woman. I'm serious. I'm tired of smoking. I'm tired of doing drugs. I'm tired of hiding these secret sins from my pastor. Lord, I'm serious about changing. I'm serious about seeing my loved ones saved, delivered, and born again and coming to church. I'm serious. When you get serious with God, and you get serious by showing him how you're fasting and praying, that's how you show God you're serious. I'm going to do my part. Because when you get serious with God and your breakthrough, then you will see a breakthrough from God. This is the fast that God has chosen. Victory, San Francisco, are we ready to get serious with God this year? No, no, no. Are we ready to get serious with God this year? God is getting ready to get serious with us. Are we ready for what God wants to do and accomplish in our lives, in our family, in our church, in our marriages this year? Are you ready? Are we ready to pray and fast to see the impossible become possible? Then I'm going to open up this altar. I want you to come. I want you to come. Step out. Let's mean business. I'm serious. I'm serious. Hallelujah in the name of Jesus. Come on, hallelujah, hallelujah, in the name of Jesus.